In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When Jesus spoke about the end times and the universe, he said that there would be many false messiahs that will come insisting they know when. We are not to listen to them. And there has been no shortage of false messiahs, from Joseph Smith, Adolf Hitler, Jim Jones, to preachers and politicians of today. You know, in every generation, there have been false messiahs claiming that they know more than Jesus. If someone ever does that, don't walk away. Turn and run away as fast as you can. Then we have, back in 1982, the Jupiter effect. Do you remember back in 1982? I know you probably don't. You were probably still in diapers. But in 1982, all of the planets were supposed to be in line. And it was going to mess things up so badly that the San Andreas Fault in California was going to shift and California was going to fall into the sea. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Well, guess what? It didn't happen. And that's the way with many predictions of the world coming to an end or some cataclysmic occurrence. And as we know, as we are so mature in life, there are many false prophets out there and many misleading signs and many false messiahs. And you can look at it this way. You can look at three ways. Sorry, let me start over. You can live your life in three different ways. One is to be fearful and go seeking every sign and listening to every false messiah. You'll be so anxious you probably can't even tie your shoes. But Jesus tells us not to be led astray. When the time comes, I think it'll be obvious to all of us. The second way is to live by a, what the heck, oh well, it is what it is, kind of attitude. We can try to escape from the cares of the world into debauchery or just sinning because it's not going to matter. The world is coming to an end. Well, I know that we can't avoid being depressed and anxious at times, and we can be discouraged and lonely and feel betrayed. And our tendency in these, after enough it happens to us, is to say, who cares? What the heck? But I don't think that's very healthy. So the third one must obviously be the way to live, right? Giving you two examples that weren't very helpful. This third path, Jesus was an example. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. What Jesus is telling us is to watch and pray in our insecurities. It's okay not to know everything. It's okay to be okay as long as you have faith in Jesus. And it's okay to know what we don't know and admitting it. I'm not going to mention Washington. But what happens if a friend betrays you? Your spouse leaves you. Your children disappoint you. But Jesus says today, not a hair on your head shall be lost. Our only permanent possession is our soul. Remember, you and I will sin, and God has, at a tremendous price, forgiven us of our sins. You know who you are and whose you are, and that's permanent. And then we have this verse about not making up your defense in advance. That has always had special meaning for me. It's called scaring me to death, not making up my words in advance. Are you kidding me? But I must admit, every time I hear these words, it reminds me of the Good Samaritan story. How would you react? You find somebody on the side of the road or somebody walking the street. Would you walk around them? Would you turn around and walk the other way? Or would you help? I know Jesus is with me because Jesus gave me the words. One Sunday afternoon after I completed my internship at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, my family and I were on the way to our favorite restaurant. We were going to get another dose of salt and burnt meat and sugar in barbecue sauce. We were less than a block away from the restaurant. And my son sees this old man shuffling through the dumpster. "Dad, what's he doing?" I looked over because I didn't see him. I was focused on Sticky Fingers barbecue. "Well, I think he's looking for food." "Well, we're going to eat. Can he come with us?" And out of the other corner of my eye, I see my first wife, who gave me this look like, "Okay, Buster, you better come up with a good example because he's not eating with us." Well, I turned to my son and I said, "We're meeting people inside and that man might scare them." That was the truth. "Perhaps next time we see him, he can come eat with us." My answer was not very bright. It was not very wise. And it surely wasn't caring. But it's my story and I'm sticking to it. At least it was honest. So I was honest in failing to be faithful. And I shared this example to my seminary peer group, which hopefully would give me an answer that I could use. Then the next week, this reading that we heard today comes along. It says, "So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance." And as I said, that really scares me because I'm a planner. I'm a list maker. I've been before a judge. I planned every single breath, every single word. And I don't think you want me standing up here without some notes. I'll just fade off to this direction, or I'll fade off in that direction. I'd like to think the Holy Spirit keeps me focused. Or maybe it's the fear of being embarrassed, of letting Jesus down, of letting you down. Well, actually, this verse means stay calm. God's got it handled. It's not about me at all in this verse. Because we all will be given the words to respond. Have faith. I worked at a rock quarry while I was in college trying to make some extra money so I could go through the year without having to eat too many ramen noodles. One day, a worker collapsed in the shop, started shaking and foaming at the mouth as he fell. Well, I had attended safety class the week before, so I ran over there and was going to put my fingers in his mouth to make sure he didn't swallow his tongue when an old man, a more experienced man, grabbed me and said, "Hold on, he'll bite your fingers off." So we found something to put in his mouth so he wouldn't swallow his tongue because this man was having an epileptic seizure. And he could have bit my tongue off, bit my fingers off. My tongue too. After these two experiences in my life, when I get in a dark place, I think, will I ever know what to think? Will I ever know what to do? And I just have to remember, after years of second guessing myself, that I have come to believe that I will know what to think, what to do, and how to be if I just let God. Amen.